Thank you for joining me this Sunday morning as we celebrate Easter Sunday. I know that this is probably the most unusual Easter service that you have ever attended. It's remote. We don't get to sing the songs that we normally sing this Easter morning, the songs that, quite frankly, I look forward to every year. I always look forward to the robustness of the singing of the congregation and the songs that we sing, and I miss that. I will tell you, though, that I am encouraged as I have observed churches all over finding ways to still have their Easter service, whether it's remotely by what we're doing or through television. And it reminds me of that great verse from the Apostle Paul, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Well, Easter service is still being celebrated today, just as it has for over the past 2,000 years. And Christ is still being worshiped as the resurrected Lord and Savior. He is risen. And we're still continuing this life of social distancing, and I will tell you that, as I mentioned this during every sermon, I long to get back to interacting with people. It's what I miss most about this social distancing. And my trips to the store have even been curtailed as I'm relying more and more on mail order. I guess you can still call it mail order. But I get online, I place an order, and the delivery truck comes up to my house quite frequently now as those packages are being delivered to me. In the packages, I find the goods that provide me some sort of usefulness or they meet some particular need. All of this centers around a transaction. I went online, I found a good that I needed, I ordered it, it was delivered, and in return, my bank account got a little bit lighter because of the transaction. They got my money, I got the good. And as we celebrate Easter this Sunday morning, I'm here to tell you that the greatest gift that you will ever receive centers around a delivery. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare his own son," referring to Jesus, "he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Christ was delivered up for us. As I mentioned before, when you receive a delivery, there's always a purpose in that package or why you ordered that good. There's always a purpose in it. Even if it's a gift from somebody else, the purpose of a gift was to celebrate some special occasion in your life, whether you were celebrating your birthday or an anniversary or a job promotion. A package delivered to your door always has a purpose. It centers around a purpose. Well, the Bible tells us that Christ was delivered up for us all. Well, for Christ to be delivered, there had to be a purpose in that delivery. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the purpose of Christ being delivered. Romans 4, verse 25, Paul wrote, "Who was delivered," referring to Jesus, "who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." When you and I order a good over the internet to be delivered, we have a reason for ordering it. Paul says that Christ was delivered up for our offenses. It was the purpose of Christ being delivered up. Now, we live in a world where the majority of the people out there say, well, I just believe in live and let live. And my sin doesn't really hurt anybody, that they believe that they can sin in a vacuum without any consequence. But I'm here to tell you today that that is not reality. The reality is that, one, sin does hurt other people. There are consequences, and you only have to look at the drug addict that has spent his last dime on his habit to the detriment of his family. Or you look at the person that's addicted to porn that got fired from their job because of their addiction, because they violated company policy. You can look at the adulterer whose family has been split apart because of their sin. Sin always has consequences, but more than the human element, we live in a world that was created by God, and God is offended by our sin. He is a holy, righteous God, and he hates sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, what does that mean? It means that every time someone goes out and sins and suffers the natural consequence of their sin, that natural consequence is displayed in the wrath of God. That God's wrath is on them as they sin and they break the rules that God has established for mankind. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is also revealed as he moves nations and people in an orchestrated movement of his will, and he uses all things to accomplish his will, you see the wrath of God. You see that all throughout the Bible as God's wrath was exhibited against ungodly nations. Now, that wrath that's exhibited is a temporary wrath. There is a permanent wrath one day, my friends, as all of mankind will stand before God and receive his judgment. But God hates sin. He hates sin, and we have Christ being delivered up because of our offenses. We have offended a holy and righteous God, and Jesus Christ was delivered up because of our offenses. For Christ to be delivered up for our sins, there had to be something unique about him. Now, as we look at the biblical account, there were a number of unique things about Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ performed many miracles as he healed the sick. And yes, he was a great teacher. And those were unique things, but there have also been great philosophers all throughout history, and there are people in history who have claimed to be miracle workers, and there's something more unique than that with Jesus Christ. Christ wasn't delivered up because of these attributes. He was delivered up because of one unique attribute that no one else in the world has ever had, and no one else in the world ever will have. And that unique attribute that caused him to be delivered up is his perfection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that Jesus knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says that Jesus committed no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says that in him there is no sin. Jesus didn't commit sin. He didn't know any sin. There was no sin found inside of him. Jesus Christ was unique because he was sinless. And in that sinlessness, in his perfection, in his uniqueness, Jesus Christ was delivered up for us. He is the only person that was ever capable of having the ability to offer himself up as an acceptable sacrifice for God's wrath. The uniqueness of Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath of God. This is why the last words of Jesus Christ on the cross were, "It is finished." Why was it finished? Because he endured God's wrath in total for his elect on the cross. There was absolute satisfaction. That's why he said it is finished. He was offered up because of our offenses, and the offering up of Jesus Christ satisfied God's wrath. Christ was offered up. He was delivered up. He was delivered up for our offenses. He was delivered up because he alone was unique and able to be an acceptable sacrifice. And this leads us to our next question. Who offers Christ? Who delivers Christ? Do we have something to do with this? Absolutely not. Even though some people do think that way. They think, well, I chose Jesus. I chose Jesus. It was me. I chose him. And so therefore I have a little goodness and I have a part in my salvation. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, my friends, you and I are incapable of delivering Christ up. We're incapable of choosing Christ. We're incapable of recognizing Christ because we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Christ wasn't delivered to us. We didn't choose Christ. The scripture says that he was delivered up. In other words, he was delivered up to God by God himself. We already discussed that mankind stands in the wrath of God because of our sin and that we are incapable of solving that problem. And if you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it's a beautiful verse that illustrates what I am attempting to say. Romans 5, verse 6, it says this. For when we were still without strength, in other words, we couldn't choose. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's look at those verses again. First of all, it points to the fact that we are incapable of choosing God for when we were still without strength. In other words, we were incapable of choosing him. It says it again in verse 8. It says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was no redeeming quality. There was no glimmer of hope. There was no looking down through the time of history and saying, well, I think I'm going to pick Monty because he seems like he's going to pick me. No, Christ died for us in spite of ourselves. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So there, those verses clearly point out that God offers up Christ, because in verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're incapable of picking, clearly says that. We're incapable of delivering up Christ and saying, God, here is Christ. I'm choosing Christ. Here's my acceptable sacrifice. That's not how it works. God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God delivers up his Son. Just as we saw a glimmer of that in the Old Testament, as Abraham was willing to offer up his Son as a sacrifice. We see in reality, centuries later, and God offering up Christ for us on our behalf. There you have the transaction. God delivered Christ up for us. The purpose was to save us from our sins. The effectiveness of that sacrifice is bound in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and his perfection. He was delivered up for our sins. And there was satisfaction. And that's why Christ said, it is finished. But there's more. As wonderful as all of this sounds this Easter morning, there is more. And it's really good. Not only was Christ delivered up for us as a sacrifice, Christ is also transformative in our life. In other words, there's no vacuum there. He doesn't save us from our sin and then nothing else happens. He is transformative. And to prove that, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's start off in verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Okay, here's where it gets really good. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And then in verse 13, and I love this verse, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. We already talked about that. Okay. He paid our sin debt. He took the wrath of God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. But then here's where it gets really good. and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. My friends, not only were we delivered from power of darkness, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, but He also conveyed us into His kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? He conveyed us into the kingdom. Now, in our modern world, I can convey a piece of real estate to you. You've heard that. I'm going to convey a title to you. I'm going to give you a piece of real estate. And when you think about it in those terms, it really sounds good. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. In other words, He's delivered us into His kingdom. We are a gift to Jesus Christ in His kingdom. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's the transformative power of Jesus Christ. It's just not about past sins. Christ died on the cross for us so that we might be conveyed into His kingdom. That's wonderful. And when you look at all of those verses that I just read in Colossians, we can have spiritual understanding. We can understand the things of the Lord. That it says that we can have the knowledge of God. And when you think about the fact that it says that we are part, that He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, that's the power of the cross. That's why we're celebrating this morning. It's that God just doesn't clean the slate of our past sins. He invites us into His kingdom, and He equips us to serve. We have the indwelling of the Spirit. We have His power living in us. It's a transformative life through the power of Christ. I always bring up Ephesians 1 in these type of sermons because it's truly one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And it coincides with what I just read in Colossians, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3, Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Now let's think about that just for one moment. Just as I said earlier that we were incapable of saving ourselves, verse 4 in Ephesians 1 tells us that again. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And then as you think about the transformative power of Jesus Christ, Paul goes on in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, it says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He transforms us not only, first of all, when we are justified, but then through the power of His sanctification as He transforms our life and as we walk with Him in His key gives us victory over the sins of our life. And as we look more and more holy through His sanctifying power. But then in verse 5, it says we've been adopted. Not only have we been adopted, but in verse 6, it says, but we've been accepted. We've been adopted and we have been accepted in the Beloved. Now, that's something to celebrate. And that's why we will celebrate this fact from now until He returns again. That's why we will celebrate this, whether we can meet in a physical building or whether we meet and proclaim His truth over the internet. We will always proclaim the truth and the victory of Jesus Christ, because it is a transformative victory. We go from darkness into the light. We go from sin into walking in His attributes and His holiness. He completely changes us through the power of His death and resurrection. It is why we celebrate Easter morning. And I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, if you're listening in this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, and when I say that, I want to stop just for a moment. I want you to really ask yourself that question. Do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about some religious activity that you did at some point in your life and you don't have a walk with Christ. I'm asking, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? And if that answer is no, that you don't know Him, that you don't have a walk, I'm going to ask you right now to just stop right where you are and ask Jesus Christ in your heart. Ask Him for forgiveness of sin. Ask Him to be Savior of your life and Lord of your life. And as you do, one, your sins will be forgiven, but in addition, you will be transformed. You will be adopted. You will be accepted. You will be equipped to do those things in His kingdom. And you're going to find joy and peace and contentment in the kingdom of God. You can't find it anywhere else. You cannot find it anywhere else. There was a man in the Bible, and his name was Solomon, and he tried to find joy and contentment in every single thing. He was the richest man in the world, and he tried to find joy and contentment in pursuing the pleasures of the world, and he came up empty. Now, if a man like that can't find it, surely you won't be able to find it either, because it doesn't exist unless you're in the kingdom of Christ. Surrender yourself to the kingdom of Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been a believer for years and years, and somehow along the way you started taking your salvation for granted. And Easter Sunday just really isn't as special as it used to be. You've lost sight of Christ and you started becoming more materialistic or more concerned about other things or pursuits of the world. And I would ask you right now, just stop where you are and rededicate your life to Christ. If you're a believer in Christ and you remember that joy that you had when you first started following Him and the peace and contentment that you had and the joy that Bible reading gave you and church attendance gave you, and if you've drifted from that, if you've drifted from His Word, if you've drifted from prayer time, there's not a better Sunday to rededicate your life to Jesus than Easter Sunday. Just right where you are, rededicate your life to Him. If you're not a believer this morning, Easter Sunday, give your life to Jesus Christ. And as someone who has been a Christian since he was in grade school, I will tell you that it doesn't get better than Jesus. It just doesn't. And as we live in a world that just seems like it's falling apart, every single day that you get up, I'm going to tell you that the peace and contentment that you get from Jesus sustains you. It sustains you because we know He's coming again. Not only did He rise, but we know that He's coming again, and He's going to take His people, and He's going to bring them into His kingdom, and we're going to have fellowship and joy and peace and contentment in the presence of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. There's nothing that the world can offer that equals that. And as we look at people that pass around us with corona, and we're reminded of just how short life is. It's so short. It's so fleeting. The Bible says it's a vapor. It's a vapor. And my friends, there's only one thing that matters at the end of life, whether that's end of life tomorrow or that's end of life 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now. The only thing that matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him today. And if you do know Him, strengthen your resolve. As the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Walk with Christ today. Join me in prayer. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You delivered Christ up for us. And we thank You that You did that not because we have a little goodness in us, or that You saw that we would recognize You. You did it just because You loved us and that You are a merciful, loving God. Thank You. Thank You for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray today that if there is someone out there that doesn't know You, that they would accept You today, that they give their life to You, that they would find acceptance in Your presence. And Lord, I pray for believers. I pray that this Easter Sunday, as we witness all the calamity going on across the globe, that we would renew and rededicate our life to You, that we would deepen our commitment to You, that we would recognize that the things of this world are fleeting, and there's only one thing of importance. And that's our relationship with You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Son. Thank You for the power of His resurrection. And thank You for Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.